Hey there, welcome to The Horrible Show, the editorial video game podcast from HorribleNight.com. It is Tuesday, February 26th, 2013. I'm your host, Justin Lacey. Joining me tonight in studio is Josh Lee.
PlayStation.
And Ethan Moses.
Yep.
And Aaron McNeil.
Nintendo!
Confused and on the wrong show, because we're here to talk about that PlayStation meeting, which would have been a better name for it anyway. You guys, we've been sitting on this for a little while. You think you're...
At least 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm. I'm bubbling over.
No, the meeting was last Wednesday, and...
No, I'm actually sitting... I've been sitting on a PlayStation this whole time.
That's...
No. If I had just pulled one out, like Reggie...
What a...
Pull the DS out of his pocket.
Like? Feel very.
It's a PS1, the O-N-E, so it wouldn't have been quite as painful as like a PS3 fat. I'm just saying.
Oh, it was inside.
I was
imagining you sitting on top of it. So then I just, because I thought maybe you'd want the big PS3 and then wait till it got real hot and then it'd feel good on your tush.
Actually, it has. If you turn it like sideways, it's got like a saddle like, you know, curve to it. You could probably get comfortable on it.
I think you'd be fine.
Wouldn't be
the best, but you'd be fine. Nothing like a good leather, you know, but hey.
Just never look at the slim models the same way again.
That's right.
Yeah.
At least it wasn't a Vita. That thing would be gone.
Yeah. Absorbed into that black hole of a butt you got.
Maybe that's where the console was hidden the entire show.
Mm-hmm. My hallway.
Oh, gosh.
Speaking of hot dogs from the pre-show.
All right, before we get to Sony, let's check on what was going on around the game industry with game industry shoutouts. Ethan, you had something getting you a little riled up.
Oh my god. Yeah, so as if I've noticed as of late and I've made this comment, and I don't usually take things too seriously, but I've taken this very seriously, is video game fans are finding all of the most stupid ways to kind of separate themselves from other fans of video games. And the worst thing, the thing that just set me off was the indie AAA confessional, where I believe indie developers were kind of like confessing to the AAA games they played. And I was so pissed off about it because it's just like, really, people, do we have to get hipster? Now we're getting this hipster. We're hipster enough the way it is. Now we're going to get full hipster. And I was delighted to find out, though, there's a happy ending to the story. There's light at the end of the tunnel. There's gold at the end of the rainbow. There's treasure at the bottom of the ocean.
More metaphors.
If you want me. But basically everyone just called this hashtag out for being so stupid. Everyone did. Like, it was just like, not like 99% of the people. It still made me mad, though, for the people that just were like, oh, I can't believe we played these. Because here's the issue, is we all play AAA games. Yeah, I realize that, you know, maybe, you know, AAA developers and producers aren't really doing all that they can to make the industry as awesome as it possibly could be. But let's get over it. Like, we need them. Like, we do. There's an aspect of it that's needed. It's all going to fall in line. It's all going to fall into place. But get the fuck over it, dude. We don't have to, like, be Greenpeace on everybody. We don't have to be whale rescue and attack all the Japanese whalers, you know, because we don't agree with whaling. Maybe that's how they make their living. I don't know. I'm not a businessman.
And so many things I was going to say in the middle of that, but no, I don't remember any of them because I'm whaling
right
now. I
don't think there's any need.
I think I squared that one up pretty well.
Yep.
So did they get called out before or after you were inspired to write your True Gamer article?
Although this happened literally I got on last night, I got angry, and that anger stayed within me. But then literally 45 minutes later, everybody was like, you guys are being douchebags. You're being douches. Just stop. And they all stopped just suddenly. Like, when somebody kind of like peeped up, they're like, no, wait a second. Before you get all mad about this, you need to know the background story. There's no background story. We're going to buy your indie games. Like, we love you. We love you, indie game developers. Don't make us not like you. Like, there's nothing about you that we don't like except for Jonathan Blow. You creep me out. But other than that,
he'll murder you.
Yeah, if you see Jonathan Blow slowly move behind me, just give me like a wave. But no, we love you so much. We love you. We want to caress you, but don't get piney on us. Don't get spiny. Don't make us not want to touch you. You know what I mean?
Haven't we discussed Jonathan Blow's van before? Like, as far as
the one that's filled with corpses, the one that's filled with mannequin legs.
Mannequin legs. That's right.
Man, which one of you sick bastards came up with that?
Believe it was you, Josh.
What?
I believe you also went as far as saying that each of them had their it was either mannequin legs or arms, and they each had an individual glove, or maybe their fingernails were painted. But then maybe I'm getting you confused with the first season of Dexter.
Yeah, that wasn't me.
I'm quite sure.
I'm trying to think if a Twitter hashtag has ever inspired me to write an article before. So this might be a first for the site.
Oh, it was so dumb. I felt dumb about it because it's a hashtag. They're so stupid. They're so throwaway. But this one got to me because I just wish, as video game playing citizens, we could just come together and love each other, man. Let's just love on each other. Well,
And the jokes were dumb.
Oh, yeah.
Like, as it got rolling, like, my feed was... I mean, I was starting to unfollow, like, industry people because I couldn't. I'm like, nope, can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
I'll refollow you once this is blown over.
Yeah. And I think it has. I think it didn't last that long.
The tweeters.
Kardashian's back is the number one hashtag. Thank God.
Yes.
What's that baby going to be?
Ooh,
I think it's a
Kim
male.
Ye.
Is it a,
Kim Ye,
is it a boy? Is it a boy or a girl?
Kim Ye. Did you just say Kim Ye?
Kim Ye, baby.
Oh, no.
These guys are much more informed than we are.
Oh, yeah. That's what I do all day.
I was going to ask you, what is German daytime television like?
I don't watch it.
Okay.
At all. I don't have actual TV.
Aaron, let's go to your game industry shout out.
My shout out is purely just born from the fact that I'm trying to finish up Assassin's Creed 3 this week. And so a poster has emerged. Kotaku found out, I guess game stores will have a poster of what appears to be an assassin on a boat surrounded by pirates. And that might be the next Assassin's Creed.
We built all these boats.
Yeah, we built all these boats and we got to use that boat tech. More naval battles. Those naval battles. Let's get some pirates in here. And Assassin's Creed 3, it's all right. I don't know if I really want Assassin's Creed just spitfire, but... Pirates. I don't know. I like pirates.
Like the plane.
Why don't they just make a ship game? They're like, hey, that was like arguably the best part of that game. Let's go over here, just make a ship game.
Honestly, you might be onto something if they had just said, we're not going to make an Assassin's Creed game this year, but we need to put something out. And honestly, we put so much into boat tech that
Pirates Creed.
I mean, no, they don't even need to do Creed with it.
That's fine. Just do it like
they
that.
They could do pirate. Pirate you.
I want to. I want to go to land and do pirate. Because pirates do cool shit.
Yeah.
Like, they have to dock.
I'm just saying.
Are they just going to stand on their boat and say, like, hey, let's do some trading and we're going to do all of our business on the boat and bring the whores to me? Like, that's not how pirates work. They got
to
get on land and, you know, and conduct
go
business.
To the whores.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I couldn't be a pirate fun. Too.
No, I mean, I'm.
I could be a pirate with you. No.
The naval battles were awesome in Assassin's Creed 3. And I'm okay with having another naval focused game, but I wish they'd be more honest with it. I feel like they're shoehorning this in here even further it's kind of an in between year. They don't want to fully commit to a next gen Assassin's Creed game. Of course, this is all based off of a poster, but
yeah,
could have been for the movie. We don't know.
These yearly Assassin's Creed games are getting a little bit too transparent. I'd rather them just make this pirate game. Like, I'll go along with it. Like, as far as use this tech for something that is just focused on pirating and not that the full Assassin's Creed 3 game that was. You know, a bunch of games cobbled together as one, then none of them were all that good.
But knowing
it's like
that's
Mario Party,
no.
was it? Pretty was that a pretty good?
Yeah, yeah.
But no, it's exactly like Mario.
Knowing that that is not ever going to happen because if you were in charge, they wouldn't make money. Can't we just hope that they actually do different things with the game? And then say, okay, so it doesn't play out exactly the same as the previous ones. And then they just take the good parts about three that we liked and add some new shit in there. And you go, hey, this is a fun game. And you really are just playing a pirate, not just like an assassin who's a stowaway. And, you know, like he's also kind of he's pretty good at like steering ships. Mm-hmm. Like that would be kind of cool if you're just like, yeah, oh, this guy in your lineage was actually a freaking pirate. He also just happened to like get a letter via crow or whatever, and it would say like, oh, kill this guy, okay, and let's go sail that way and kill a guy. But just, you know, you should take out your targets with cannonballs and like heat seeking parrots and shit.
Have you played
like Pirates, Vikings and Knights? Like that, like the pirates in that game were real deadly.
I would like to see that game. Yeah. I don't know what that game is.
You could, and it was a multiplayer three-way Steam Half-Life 2 mod PvP thing, but you can name your parrot, and I hope that there's a parrot. Your main character has one, and you can name him and feed him. Oh, that's the mini game.
I hope they do a hunting MGS2 twist, and you just play as the parrot for most of the game. You start out as the pirate.
Too far.
Cannot have fun with any of my ideas.
Just follow your nose.
Did the posters say Assassin's Creed 4? Did it say 4 on it?
Same difference. What?
Did the poster say Assassin's Creed 4?
I couldn't see from the image I saw. Okay. But
I don't think it does.
Yeah, I don't know.
It actually said 4? You sure?
I don't know.
I don't think it does.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, it's not. Then it's the off-year one.
It was just Black Flag, right? It was
Black Flag. Or Flag.
Ass Boats is going to be the short version. Ass Boats. They had Ass Bro, Ass Creed, Ass Rev, Ass Boats. Hashtag Ethan. Ethan, put it on Twitter.
Okay,
he's doing it. He's doing it.
I'm doing it right now.
Indie AAA Ass Boats.
Yeah.
Sea Crows, by the way. Thanks,
Josh.
Chats,
did you have a shout out? You want me to go to mine?
Actually, I do. I have a small thing. Okay. I want to mention. I finally watched House of Cards. You guys watched that, right? No,
I watched the pilot. Yeah,
okay, Netflix.
Okay, yeah, the Netflix show, Kevin Spacey, he's a congressman. Okay. It's a remake of a British show, whatever. It's a really good show, but there is the most ridiculous product placement. Okay. I feel like we talked about this on the show. I guess we haven't.
No, I haven't talked about it.
Okay, so I just want to say good job, Sony, on somehow getting like the most ridiculous product placement since like The Wizard. It's so dumb. Like, Kevin Spacey plays video games in his like spare time sometimes. Like,
Dr. House? Yeah. His Game Boy?
I don't know. See, he's like the busiest dude in the world, and he'll just be sitting on the couch, and he's like, I've got to play my PlayStation, and you see his like hand. He's playing, I think it's Warfighter or something. It's like it's first-person shooter, but it's not called Duty. And he's just like,
I think it's just called first-person
mashing
shooter.
The buttons, like, you know, like fake video game TV playing. I'm like, okay, I respect that. And then, but there's this scene where he goes to this guy's house, and this guy's got a couple of kids, and one of the kids is playing a Vita. And they tell the kids to leave the room so they can do business or whatever, and they sit down on the couch. And these are just like two U.S. congressmen, and they're about to talk about some serious business. And Kevin Spacey turns to the guy, and he looks on the coffee table, and he's like, oh, is this a PS Vita? He's like, yeah. He's like, oh, I'm jealous. I need to get one of these. It'd be great for my car rides. And then he goes, yeah, yeah. It's like he looks at the camera and like holds it up. And he goes, what games does he have? And then the other guy goes, all of them. And he's just like, wow. It's just this.
It only does.
There was actually on Workaholics this past week or 2 weeks ago. They were playing God of War Ascension, and it was like the exact same kind of thing. They were like, hey, what are you doing? You can't just play God of War Ascension all day long.
No, like just the box appears like in the frame, and you don't know who's holding it.
It was awesome. But I mean, on that show, you kind of expect that. Like, that's like, oh, that's not right, it doesn't take you out of the moment too much. But Congressman playing Vita seems crazy.
It was hilarious. It was funny. Yeah,
well, we had
the PS Vita. Like, no one says it like that.
We had that article on the site about what was that? The Heart of Dixie show that had Halo 4 show up in it. That was a weird one.
Oh, what had was it? Something had like Rage in it.
Yeah, I was going to mention
Breaking Bad.
Yeah, that's
and,
what
and
it was.
Everybody kind of made a big deal about it. But you never see like
that wasn't like this.
They don't like talk about it. It's just kind of on in the background because there's video games in this house and it kind of fits. But they didn't Like, I think you saw the logo on screen at one point, but, like, nobody referenced it. It wasn't a video, like, a moment where the characters are playing video games. It was just kind of on in this house.
Jesse,
so.
Stop playing Rage. Yeah.
By id Software.
Man, I wish it was, like, Fallout. No. My shout-out actually goes to Digital Extremes and Patrick Klepek's article. He kind of dug into their history. Digital Extremes was actually the first developer that kind of promoted next gen when this generation popped up. Like, they were the first ones, our game Dark Sector is going to be, it's the first next gen game. And what they showed wasn't even remotely what the game turned out to be. And that, I mean, the game came out a couple years after the consoles were already out, but Digital Extremes has had a little bit of a resurgence lately. We've talked a bit about Darkness 2, we've played Warframe, and then they're also working on the new Star Trek game. And I believe what these guys were responsible for Deathmatch in Unreal Tournament. Is that is that right? So they've had a really interesting history, and it's a really good article. Just, I'm always fascinated by these companies, especially ones that have been around for a while and you know, aren't necessarily grown into huge names, but this has become a solid company, and I think they're kind of on the verge of doing some big things. I'm excited about their upcoming games, and so it was really interesting to look back. Oh yeah, these were the Dark Sector guys, and they tried to wow us with what they thought the next gen would be, so they went back and played like the original trailers and compared it to like
that original Dark Sector trailer is Warframe today.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
like, it's crazy.
It's got those weird.
Even the character model is like the same with the little half horn thing, the Guyver looking dude. So it's pretty neat.
It's a pretty cool article. So I recommend checking that out.
History, it's a good history lesson.
Horrible shout outs, guys. What had your attention on the site, Josh?
Well, I just want to say how proud I am of all of you guys. In the past year, four people, I think, on the site are building now new PCs. Like, I'm just so proud of you guys. And no one has asked me to help build the things.
Until we do it live, but yes.
Well, but that's not, you won't need my help, though. You know, it's like, I'll do it, but it's like, you know, give me some recommendations and stuff, and then I ask questions. It's like, well, about requirements and stuff, and you guys answer them. Like, no one's like, do this for me. It's been really cool. Everybody's like kind of embracing it, and especially for like, sometimes we can be like anti certain platforms. I feel like, and I think PC was that maybe for a while there. It's like, PC, whatever.
I'd kind of given up on it,
and then so like, you know, yeah. So just seeing like you guys come around, just gives me hope that hopefully like. There's more other people out there just going like, you know, oh, wow, those guys. Like, I just want people to know, they're listening to know that if these guys can build their own computers, you can definitely build your own computer. Oh, my gosh.
It was definitely, I kind of went through the motions this weekend, which is actually kind of interesting on the tail end of the PlayStation announcement, that I was still amped about building my PC. Mm-hmm. But finally kind of locked in my build, but like doing the research took me back. It's been 10 years since I built a computer. Yeah. So I've been a little bit out of touch, but just like, you know, I kind of get into the nerdy side of it, of comparing things and kind of re-educating myself. But I'm excited. I've kind of redid my entire office this weekend in preparation for, you know, it's time to get a serious computer in here. So we're going to get a serious office motivates me in weird ways, but I'm excited to see what happens with the PC. I mean, it's kind of a shame they're not going to get, unless Valve does something ridiculous. I can't. There's nothing on the equivalent of, there's not going to be a PC meeting where somebody gets together. This is the next generation of PC. It's always an ever evolving thing. They don't get that kind of like that little watershed moment to establish the next big thing, quite like the consoles do. But I think it's going to be.
Well, that's because the PC market doesn't really require that mainstream media coverage that everyone else does. They're not.
Well, we already have the next generation. I mean, like, there's not anything to show. They're like, oh, remember that 3D card that came out, you know, a year ago? 2 years ago? Yeah. Okay.
But that's what all those things are about. It's like trying to get, you know, the Times or USA Today or Yahoo or whatever to cover the, you know, the new game stuff. I mean,
just jobbing that hand, like, getting you guys up, getting you guys excited.
It's not like gamers need E3 or even the PlayStation meeting thing. Like, we don't need that. We'll get
not
that
even
news.
Directed at us at all.
No.
So yeah, I mean,
no.
Yeah,
it's not for us. So yeah. Although GDC,
not by us, it must be against us then. All of these are against gamers. This is it.
No.
Grab your pitchforks and your other pointy sticks and flames.
I don't know.
Grab flames.
Well, no, but I'm with him. I don't know what he's talking about. I'm with him. No, but not
rebellion.
No, but you'll hear a lot of kind of like fun stuff come out of like GDC for like if you're like really into like PC stuff and you kind of care about those people, those guys are there and they're probably talking about neat stuff. So go seek that out. And then like PAX. You get like it's a lot of indie stuff gets covered there. So if we had anything that was like that you want to pay attention to as like a PC gamer, that'd be the stuff.
The big thing for me, I think we talked about it before, but I mainly used PCPartPicker.com kind of as my main resource as far as it lets you kind of build a system component by component and then lets you know like if you're missing an essential piece or something's going to like isn't going to be compatible with one another. So that's really helpful. And then it also scans all the online retailers to try to find you the best deal for each part. And so you can get an estimate of what your build costs. And it's really cool if you like save it. And then if you're not going to pull the trigger right away, you can come back and you see how your build has cost over the last few weeks and days. It has a whole chart of, you know, my build right now is $100 more expensive than it would have been had I done it in November, that type of thing. So that was pretty cool.
It's really
you
handy
love
for
charts.
Emailing that around.
I do love
charts. Oh, man, yeah, stats, graphs.
Yeah, let's see them. Send those to us. Oh. I want to be part of that.
I cannot.
PowerPoints.
Mm. Yeah.
Can you imagine the spreadsheet, how fast my spreadsheets are going to be with my solid-state hard drive?
Oh, it'll be fast. Real.
You need to get
what was I talking about?
One of those new 30-inch... Or those 27-inch Korean monitors, they're only like $450 bucks.
Yeah.
But they've got like the high res. They're like the same screen you'll see in like the Dells and the Apples and stuff. But they're just so much cheaper. Now, they don't have all the trimmings and the fixings. But they're high resolution and they're going to look good. It'll be IPS. So you're going to see spreadsheets from any angle on that monitor. It won't wash out or invert those white and black colors. And you'll just have room for so many cells.
Hot cells. Aaron, what's your horrible shout out?
My shout out is the first person Mario video that was put up on the site recently. I watched that and that was pretty crazy. Just watching Mario bounce off those
nauseous
cannonballs. Yeah, just one of those bouncing back and forth those cannonballs.
Ethan, I was so motion sick. I had to look up at a little side scrolling aspect.
That's why he can't play action video games.
No, that was actually the coolest part was seeing the 2D representation of what he was doing. Like, as far as like, I couldn't tell at first. Like, is he playing a level or is this just like a custom? I mean, it is a custom thing for the video, but he was actually trying to play one of the last few ships and what are those things? Tanks? Are they tanks?
There are tanks and there are ships and there's airships. Yeah.
They're not the airships, but it's the level in World 8. It's
World 8.
It's a tank. Yeah, it's a tank.
And then does the whole final encounter with Bowser for Mario 3. And that was, I'd seen, like, I think they did an earlier, or like, tech demo, or they did another render of this a while back, but this one was much more polished and pretty damn cool. So, Ethan, what's your shout out?
Night moves. Apparently Bob Seger is completely okay with us using that as a tag, which is great. But highlight worst dudes. I don't know if you guys back in TV land, I guess we're in TV land. You're back in regular, normal, boringville. Sorry. we've been streaming a shit ton, like a lot. Like we've been airing out all of our deeds
gaming
and
grievances.
You can watch them and we have highlights that come from them and you can see all the regulars. You see Mr. Dave, you can see Justin playing, you know, La Mulana, you can see A little bit more Mr. Dave, Josh playing Aliens Colonial Marines and getting in the most, that was actually my favorite one so far, is so much panic occurring during that stream, and then Josh is just frightened horribly. We're going to keep pumping those out, apparently. We're logging them up. We're backlogging them. There's going to be a ton of them. You'll see all of us, all sides of us.
Yeah, we've got some of Ethan's queued up here. Going to try to do almost daily videos during the week. I won't fully commit to that yet, but multiple videos a week. And we kind of promote those midday on Facebook. But just subscribe to our YouTube channel, and you'll get them in your feed. And right now, everything's coming from our live streams that are happening multiple times a week now. And trying to get a variety of games up there, but also just looking for those more interactive moments that stand out from each gameplay session, and hopefully you'll get a taste of what you can expect from our live streams, and let us know what you like and what you'd like to see us play, because we're up for anything and pretty bad at doing what we do.
Yeah.
We're bad at games.
Yep. I've embraced it since last week. Josh just kind of threw down the gauntlet of, you are bad at video games, and I was kind of thrown off, but I've kind of also embraced it. So,
well, I think people like that better. I mean, do you really want to watch someone who's better than you, or would you rather watch someone who's struggling that you can kind of help? Because I get pro tips like crazy mad.
Yeah.
Like, when you do streams, yeah, there's enough people there. I'm getting hella pro tips, and I'm writing them down. You know, got my own little code sheet. It's great. I love it. Love pro tips. Love you guys.
There are gamers out there that want to tell you how to play.
Just the tips.
He did the little tongue in his cheek thing when he said, I saw what you did. That'd be a great, a great show, or just like a YouTube channel for someone to do. Not us, maybe, but somebody that just like really sucks at games, and doesn't even try to be good.
Not us.
And then they just go. So we try sometimes, and we're still not good. But it's just like, I suck at games. Come tell me what to do, and then like come help me. And then so like people that just like they cannot not like just constantly be telling people how to do shit right, that you can just go in there and just be like get furious and get all your rage out, you know, and just be like, God you suck, do this, do that, do this, that, and then it just, you know, okay, and then maybe he's not even very good at following instructions, but like there's so many people get so mad at that, at bad gamers, and just like go in there to this guy's channel. I don't want it to be us now, you see why, but.
I feel like if you set it up that way, it will definitely get the attention of.
Yeah. Yeah. Helping thumbs.
We'll work on the name.
Thumb buddies? Just the tips? Is that it?
I think just the tips actually.
Just the pro tip.
My shout out goes to Ethan, who is apparently not sick of zombies. We've had some conversation.
No.
We had a conversation on a recent episode of The Horrible Show about your, you know, affinity for Skeleton Warriors and trying to bring those back.
To opt that in, yeah.
And so, a lot of that centered around the fact that zombies are in every game and we need some more, like, fodder enemies that, you know, somebody else needs some of the limelight there. And I thought you were moving on from zombies, and was that kind of, were you kind of
we were kind of round tabling, you know, what that replacement was, because I often think about what the replacement would be, though. But I'm okay with zombies. I love the scenarios you get into with them. But the funny thing is actually when I was playing Left 4 Dead on Monday, I found a mod that turns the zombies into Skeleton Warriors, and so like there's a lot of this stuff that is me. So it was actually pretty badass. But yeah, no, I just kind of realized that, like, you know, every video game has terrorists in it. And they're all from the Middle East, and no one's tired of that. You know what I mean? And so why is everyone gaming up on the zombies? It's come on, man. There's robots in most every game. I know people fall back on zombies a lot, but I still enjoy them. I'm still okay with them. If you don't like zombies, you can avoid them. You can totally avoid them. I also wrote that article in about an hour and a half, so it wasn't, you know,
Ethan.
Thoughts weren't fully developed.
Ethan, when I was watching, I watched some of that stream after the fact, but those skeletons, the replacement model for the zombies, they were red, and like all I could think was like, was that not the color of the skeletons in Castlevania that would crumble and then get back up?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's what I was kind of worried about. Obviously,
how awesome would that have been if you're playing that and every like none of them would die permanently?
Well, there was something strange about the skeletons because, like, to me, like, you just couldn't kill them in the way that you killed zombies. Like, you could see through them, so it was like they never ended. And it was really weird. I played with a number of different mods, different common enemies, that was the toughest one.
The mod didn't work that way, did it? As far as, like, you weren't shooting through the skeletons, were you? Was it that?
No, I don't believe so. I don't think
it
would have been awesome.
It's like that kind of changed.
Yeah, it didn't.
That's a little bit intense. But it's kind of wonky.
Disorienting. Yeah, it was weird. Like my eyes, I was like, "Oh God, what's happening?" And then I thought about how horrible that situation was. But the cool thing was that the skeleton, the mod, they had like maces and shields and armor and shit. And I'm like, "Man, this is awesome! This is exactly what we were talking about last week or 2 weeks ago."
The La Mulana has some red skeletons, and I had the exact same thought about. I was like, "Oh shit!" Like,
why else would you make them red?
You know, it's kind of funny.
Who would come up with the idea without that association? Or that inspiration from Castlevania. Name any other, like before that, any place you saw red skeletons.
I got nothing.
Exactly. What the hell? Red. Oh, come on. Come on.
Communist skeletons.
Red Skull. Shit.
Yeah. So, Sony had this meeting last week. Some stuff happened. You want to talk about it?
Was it a meeting?
The PlayStation meeting. Josh and I's hopes and dreams crashed pretty early. Mm. This was not a Vita-only event, although the Vita was featured prominently. So my dream of the last...
In a very pretentious way. Yeah.
My dream of The Last Guardian being an exclusive Vita title for the relaunch of the handheld did not occur. But they announced this thing called the PlayStation 4. Let's start there. Were you guys surprised that they stuck with the number system for the name?
Nope.
I guess
not at all.
No.
I guess I
didn't expect anything different. Yeah.
Makes sense.
I mean, why change it? What were you going to call it? The PlayStation Dolphin or the PlayStation?
The Orbis.
You know? Yeah.
PlayStation Nintendo.
The Game Station.
I knew it wasn't going to be the Orbis. That was the project name.
The PlayStation Wii U.
But I mean, kind of after the Vita. I didn't really... Where was Sony going with their branding? They might do something weird. I think it was one of those things that I thought about it for too long, so I'd kind of convinced myself, nope, they're not going to do the four. So,
although I will say there, after I saw like half the presentation with the specs and all that, I thought they were just going to call it the computer.
let's talk about the presentation as far as... the tone of it. Overall, I was glad that I'm still not 100% sure who the target audience was for the event, but I'm glad they didn't go like all MTV with it, because I remember the 360 announcement, like, and they didn't bring out like celebrities and that type of thing. It was more focused on this is a developer friendly console. It had an interesting vibe to it that I didn't expect.
They were talking to everyone, okay. I think, but it was very gamer centric, like just
really
all the way across the board.
I felt like a businessman, an elderly businessman, was trying to sell me on something I already kind of knew about. That was my whole vibe. They used things ecosystem.
That was
and
Willy
all that
Wonka
kind of like weird shit.
No way. There was just a ton of little things that they didn't have to say. But they did it anyways, and there were some things targeted towards developers, like trying to say like, hey, there was a message there, a clear one that said,
yeah,
we're easy to develop for, we want, you know, they talked about self publishing and
sorry
all that kind of
stuff.
Sorry
about the cell processor.
It was in a way, it was like almost slightly apologetic, mm-hmm. Without mentioning all those things. But there were so many little things. It was like, this is what the gamer wants. This is what you want. And it just like down the line, it's like every single bullet point you look and it's like, well, shit, yeah, that's what gamers
want. I think there was an applause break when they announced that they had 8 gigabytes of RAM. Like it was like
oh,
he,
I didn't remember
he like
that,
kind of paused around like
applause.
And this has 8 gigabytes of RAM. So
well, that was a huge sticking point with the Xbox 360 originally, and it cause almost shipped with half as much RAM as it had, and all the developers were pushing back on that. It was like that was a big thing. I think the Epic guys were really like hit them. They were like hitting Microsoft really hard about that. Like, we cannot use 256 megs RAM.
The guys at Epic have been drinking a lot in the last few years. Just like, can we move on?
Yeah, yeah. Well, like Mark Rain had a huge real bobo quick. After that.
Hmm? No.
Before we get too far into it, have you guys convinced yourselves that you're really excited for this, or are you playing devil's advocate at this point? I just want to get that off the table because I have comments I'll make regardless of either one of those.
I don't play devil's advocate. Not really. Not that often. Okay. I'm not doing it now. Okay. So that's not my style.
Okay.
Straight shooter.
I'm just reacting. I'm not making any hard conclusions at this point. I feel like we've got a long way to go.
Oh, yeah.
We've got a long way to go in 2013. So
I love PlayStation.
Real hard conclusions.
So
yeah, there's just nothing. You know, it's sad. Here's a sad thing. Here's what I took away from this. And I understand, here's what I took away from it. I didn't get excited in the least. And it has nothing to do with it. Just like the allure of a new console to me, isn't there. And that was kind of disappointing. You know what I mean? Because we've been waiting for so long for this. And I mean, you know, the games, and I don't ever comment on Jim Sterling, but he made a very valid point in his last Jimquisition none of the games that are coming out, they're more powerful. Maybe they look better, but they haven't really like done anything. It doesn't look like there's anything like real new, like real big thought processes that are shocking the world and changing things. And that was kind of disappointing because I'm kind of thinking that's what they needed to do. I mean, obviously you had The Witness, which was probably the most unique title out of all the things that were showing off, but I don't know. There just wasn't that.
Did you not watch Killzone?
No gamer boner. Yeah, Jonathan Blows. Yeah, I'm saying that about Jonathan. You know, I mean, I don't know.
Maybe my bar was lower. Like, I was more approaching this. I didn't know what I wanted out of a new console. Like, I just know that it's time to kind of change this stuff. I knew that they weren't going to go off the rails with
the crazy train.
they were going to go off the rails with how powerful the system was going to be. This wasn't going to be a huge leap that you're going to immediately notice visually. And Ethan, are you still there?
No, he's not, but right. I'll get it when he comes back.
I kind of already set myself up for, they're not going to really wow us with visuals. They're not going to wow us with graphics power. They're going to try to make a better platform. And I felt like in that regard, they had a really solid start. Like I wasn't running away from this, like, you know, shouting from the hilltops, I'm going to buy a PlayStation 4 out of the gate. But I think they did what they needed to do, and I'm anxious to see how Microsoft punches back.
Okay, so I don't think that, as far as just talking about the different kinds of like looking for new gameplay and that kind of stuff, I don't think you were going to see that. There was no way you were going to see that this month. Like, it's still super early. I mean, there's, like, they didn't show that many games, like, being played live. It's for a good reason. Like, this, every time there's a launch for a console, it's like, what current tech do we have that we can build something off of in the shortest amount of time that can also be, like, cross-gen plat?
Yeah.
And then, you know, we can put it out and sell some units on the new systems and the old systems. And so, you know, cause it's not a big install base at launch. We know this. So they weren't going to, there's no way we were going to see anything super crazy. Although we did see some stuff from Media Molecule that did show just that. I mean, they were trying to say like, hey, look, we figured out that move thing. We figured out how to do some cool stuff with it, with the new system. And I think all this does it, and I'm guessing Xbox is going to be probably similarly spec'd, and the increase in the power of the hardware itself, it's like it's basically just kind of like pulling away the barriers that the older systems had. They were getting super long in the tooth for like, it's so much like you had to be so efficient to get that newer stuff that you're developing on a PC that's kind of higher end, and you're like, well, but our target system is just so much lower in hardware. And then, so now it's like, okay, all right, now we're kind of even across the both of the major consoles and the PC. It's all pretty even. So now let's just, like
clean this up.
Yeah. Now let's just focus on like, okay, what game do we want to make? Because it doesn't really matter what system it's for now. We don't have to make compromises. And that's exciting to me. Like that just seeing that like, oh wow, they did put like, they're actually putting like good hardware in this thing. Mm-hmm. Like the specs, like I know most people just don't care about that kind of stuff, but you know, developers do. And that gets me excited that they want to see that. And developers are excited. Like Mark Rain was talking about just how much he loved it. And I mean, he's a tech guy. He wants to, you know, they've got a new engine and they showed it off and it looked really good. And, yeah. And John Carmack was just tweeting today about, he's like, I can't talk about PS4, but let me just say they made some very good engineering decisions. That guy he doesn't know how to joke. So when he says something like that, he really likes something about it. You know, the tech guys, they like what they've done with architecture and all that. So I'm excited about just the possibilities. At least they're not going to be like held back. Developers aren't going to be held back.
Yeah.
And I don't really care about their new Kinect Eye thing, whatever. They have a dual camera thing and, you know, touchpad on the controller, whatever. And the Move, meh. But like just core games. They're just going to be able to do the same stuff they would be able to do on a PC now.
Aaron, what was your kind of general reaction?
My reaction was very similar to what Josh was saying. I'm glad if developers are happy, I'm happy, because if they can do what they want to do, then, you know, we only benefit from that. And so it was kind of a very standard show. I mean, they talked about the tech, they did the games, but I wasn't expecting anything crazy. I wasn't even expecting to see as much pre-recorded game footage as we saw. I kind of thought it was going to be more of a boring show where if you like stats and you know these specs, you'll get off on this. But it was it was fine. And if the developers can work with the PS4 and do good things, and the same thing for the Xbox, then you know I'm fine with that. I'm happy.
I think we've got Ethan back, maybe?
Ethan looks like he's back.
Yeah, let's see how long this lasts. WTF.
Yeah, we didn't like your negativity, so we kicked you off the show. No.
Oh, that's not negativity. Really? You think that's negative?
I'm just giving you a hard time. No,
there's people that'll be sad about that. I just, it has nothing to do with, okay, now I'll admit, with the Wii U, I was like, fuck the Wii U. but with the PS4, it was just like I want that wonderment and amazement that we used to have. Do you remember that? Like, it's like the difference between like the Nintendo and the Super Nintendo, Super Nintendo and the like PlayStation 1. It's just like, where is that? We don't have that. And I think it's
because. Is that okay that we don't have that?
Huh?
Is that okay that we don't have that though? Like,
no, not anymore. It's not hardware anymore. I think that's the issue. It's not hardware. It's games now.
But I didn't need.
So to me.
I didn't need this meeting to tell me that was kind of, so I guess my expectations, that's not what I went into this expecting. And
it's not about expecting it. It's just about, that's a nice feeling to have. Like, it's like, oh, here's a new console generation. Let's get pumped. Here's what we're going to see. And I think just such a slight, I mean, the power is there obviously, but just, I didn't get those bubbles. I didn't get those bubbles that made me say, I've got to have this. You know what I mean? I want those bubbles back.
There are a ton of, there's a ton of people that don't play games on a PC with a high-end machine that crank up the graphics all the time. Now, I don't know, because I haven't talked to any of these people yet, but if you're a PlayStation guy, just all you play, that's the only console you have, like PS3 or even Xbox, and you see that Killzone demo, you've got to be wowed by the graphic power, right? It was really bog standard gameplay, but goddamn, did it look good. Mm-hmm. I mean, that looked good by PC standards. Like, most people's PCs will not make a game look that good. Most people's won't.
Well, but
no
I'm not
way.
Speaking.
No way.
I can't go into the hearts of everybody else.
That's
speaking from my heart. I'm saying I want to be excited. I don't give a fuck about anybody else being excited.
Right, yeah.
I want to be excited. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, I don't know. That's just one of the things. Like, and it has nothing to do with, like, I know everyone's like, oh, it's PC snobbery. It really isn't. I'm just, like, to me, I'm like, okay, what that press conference, what I wanted out of it was, I need to validate buying another console. I need to validate jumping into this or, you know, and it just, I didn't get that at that point. And maybe that's not a bad thing. Like, maybe it's not a negative thing at all. You know, and everyone there creeped me out too. So that's
kind of what I want to get into next. Is let's go through some of the some of the segments. They did have some interesting characters. I was a big fan of Mark Cerny did the initial he did the initial presentation of all the specs and introduced the PlayStation 4 and the background behind the philosophies of how they were creating the console. And he had this whole kind of Willy Wonka atmosphere that everybody was picking up on, just because he was kind of in awe of everything that they had accomplished. And I was really glad that it was that style of presentation rather than either the businessman or just like hardcore technical facts. Like, I thought it struck a happy medium between trying to get people excited about it, but also showing that they had a plan with this and they kind of knew what they were doing.
I thought he was a good presenter.
Yeah, I thought he just wasn't my traditional expectation for that. And, you know, I go back to previous E3s with, you know, their duck demos and that type of thing. And there's just something more natural about the way that he unveiled this. And also, it's just something very, very calm. It wasn't a show. It wasn't like, I had this fear that we're going to get an MTV presentation. Not that Sony's really ever done that. That's more of Microsoft's thing. But it was just steady and confident, but not cocky. Because you go back to the announcements of the PlayStation 3, and that was kind of where Sony really started to lose people, was just like, they had this kind of "we know better" attitude, and like, it's more of a, "so what do you think of this? Like this sounds like the right path, kind of what you want, but, and we can, you know, we want some feedback." Like, I don't know, it felt a little bit more open that way.
I actually would have preferred if the cast of Teen Mom would have come out and announced something. Like, something that would have been fun. I would have enjoyed that.
Honey Boo.
Because I'm a huge T fan.
Yeah,
that's actually TLC. Their console doesn't come out till, you know, 2 years from now. So,
well, they had the guys on stage that you know the products and the services and the brands and all that stuff. I mean, they had the right people up there for, like, I'm glad that they just didn't have, like, you know, Kevin Butler, like, kind of personality. You know, it was just like, hey, some of these guys are, man, they're kind of nerdy, and that's okay. Like, that's the stuff where, you know, everyone bitches about E3, and then you hear people say, I wish they would just put, you know, just put the nerds on stage to talk about the stuff. Like, Cerny's, you know, super nerd, right? And Kearney? Cerny?
Well, it's Cerny, but I could
Cerny?
Cerny. Call him Kearney Cerny. That's my thing. That's my nickname for him.
But like, the nerdiest dude. He looks like super awkward, but he's enthusiastic and he knows what he's talking about. And that's all I give a shit about. And I appreciate that. But then again, I think that's part of that, like, you know, who was the audience. And I felt like I was like, oh, they're kind of talking to me, you know, or, you know.
Yeah. I think I kind of expected Jack Tritton to show up too in that segment and beat us over the head with the PlayStation 4, but
yeah,
I love Jack, but they set the tone right. Like, it didn't feel like a business meeting the way that it started, especially with all my fears of them just calling it the PlayStation meeting. But so yeah, take your pick of the next presenters, because there's some characters out there.
We gotta talk about Nate Fox. Can we please
just move on to Nate?
Run away, go with it.
Let's just jump right. Man, that was dramatic, wasn't it? I thought he was gonna cry. That's not the game that you get emotional about.
I don't think that was emotion. I think that was him. Like, oh, dude. Like, I think him and before or after the show, him and Jonathan Blow were sitting like in the green room, just eating sticks of butter, and just like staring in each other's eyes, and they would just play. They're playing like some kind of freaky word association game with stuff that, like,
it was just
things they want to kill, like,
or maybe he saw Jonathan Blow in mid murder. Maybe that was the issue. Is he thought back
or
to that?
Okay,
like,
sure.
I've seen something, and I want to scream out loud right now.
No, you're right. We should give him the benefit of the doubt.
Jonathan Blow just killed a hooker.
They were just no. I was gonna say
didn't believe me.
A fresh delivery of mannequins, and they had just finished de-legging them. And
but I think that threw me off, because, like, you know, like, David Cage, okay, like, I get it, like, that's kind of his shtick. But then when you go into, like, you know, like that pause, which is such an awkward pause.
Wait, he was talking about the new Infamous game, right? And he was talking about like the technology, and I thought it was going to introduce Watch Dogs, and I'm like, wait, you're not the guy for that. What are you doing? Wrong company.
Yeah.
Because he was talking about like, what if, he's like, computers, they're connected. Like, what if they were more connected? And then like, what if somebody took them from you? And then I was like, what the fuck is this? Watch Dogs?
It was like a weird, like... It was like a weird Occupy Wall Street type thing. Like, I was really expecting like crowds of like hippies to like walk on the stage and just start chanting. Yeah. And I'm glad it didn't happen. You are the problem. You are the problem, AAA developers. Indie confessional. Quick, everybody up here.
It was he was super creepy though.
That, but I will say
he was the wrong choice.
All of these had to go through some vetting process, right? Like, okay, you're going to be one of the guys we're going to put on stage, or even back at Sucker Punch, like, you're going to be the guy that's going to talk about this game. But, like, it's Infamous. Like, the trailer was cool. Like, I like Infamous, but Infamous is a fun game to me. It's not...
It's a goofy, fun, deep experience.
It's a comic game, and he presented something else.
Yeah, but it's kind of edgy. It's pretty edgy. That doesn't mean anything, because no matter what they were trying to convey, that dude, he was weird. He was just weird.
Weird guy.
Sorry.
Weird guy.
Weird
dude.
I'd buy drugs from him.
It was. Oh, I would definitely. You got to trust a man with eyes like that. You can trust him. He's used the stuff. He's tried it. He's sampled it. He's not going to give you shit. He'll give you the good stuff. You know,
quality stuff.
But the next time you present your game, you may just stare off to the distance and just lose complete track of what you were going to do. You know. And did they dim the lights and like throw that green light on him specifically? Like, I didn't see that happen to anybody else. Did you notice that? Like, it was like, oh shit, he's getting emotional. Quick, go to the green lights. Maybe we'll get him back on track. I don't know.
Make sure they're
stuck with
so weird.
What other segments stood out, Josh?
Well, wait, of the presenters?
Yeah.
Just in general.
Or just the set. It goes, you can just go segment.
Well.
Or presenter.
See, my, okay.
Where were you going to go?
I
want to go there.
I want to talk about why I was so excited. Just overall, after this, why I was just so up on the whole presentation and Sony's approach. And it was actually a combination of kind of all of the software stuff, like all of the service stuff they were talking about. Because, like, they got the hardware right, and it was like, okay, checkbox, move on. And then, you know, like, the Killzone thing, it was like, oh, yeah, it looks good, it looks good. Now we got that stuff. But then they started talking about all those things that the operating system basically it handles and their ecosystem and stuff in the store. And it was like all my complaints or all the things I wish they'd had. It's like they addressed all of them. It's like everything digital day one, like the Vita. They're talking about doing the, now it's not going to be mandatory, but they're trying to get all the developers to do the second or the, off TV play. What are we calling that? Because Wii U does it with some games.
Yeah.
And you're going to be able to do that with a Vita. Stream your PS4 game to your Vita.
I want to say direct stream,
they did it on the PSP. And I don't remember what it was called there either. But it's like, oh, okay, you know, yeah, let's do that with more stuff though. Because the PSP did it with like a dozen games. But like they just kind of out Nintendo'd Nintendo there, like in a way. And it was like, it was those things. And it was like the streaming stuff, the video sharing stuff.
Yeah.
Like at all times it's recording video and you can hit a button and then go and like send your
literally
clips to your friends.
Literally hit a share button.
Yeah, yeah. They just made the Twitch TV stuff like a million times simpler for like just sharing shit with your friends. Mm. And then there was the the Gaikai stuff was kind of up in the air still. It was like, this is kind of weird. But the one thing they said, and I've been saying this for a while, it's like, if they're going to do that stuff, it's like, you know, you hit a button, like, and you start playing the game. It's like, that's the point where it gets to, like, the level of convenience where all that store should just kind of melts away. Mm-hmm. So you just go, you say, like, oh, look at these games that are available right now. and you hit a button and boom. You don't have to wait for that gigantic download. So you kind of, now you're still going to have bandwidth issues for some people because they just don't have the internet connection for it, or they have bandwidth caps. It's going to limit them. But if you don't, and hopefully you're going to go shopping around for better internet service if you get one of these, but just being able to, just you don't have to worry so much about like, well, I don't have like the 50 meg internet package. I've only got the 12 or whatever, but it's plenty to do the stream and play.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just how amazing is that? And like, what if Microsoft doesn't do these things?
Yeah, that's kind of.
And then you look at this and go, shoot, this is real for somebody who likes to do the digital stuff. Well, like, if you like to be connected online, it's like they're doing a lot of things that, like, you know, Xbox Live doesn't do.
We went from a Sony ecosystem right that was like very, very limited, and honestly, like when you looked at this generation and how long it's gone on, you can see its age with the PlayStation 3's interfaces.
Right.
And they, that was the first thing, knocked the user interface out of the park. But having like all of these options, like, I don't know how well any of this stuff is going to work, but again, looks like it looks like a really solid platform to build off of, or a solid foundation to build off of. And I feel like, I don't know how much everybody's going to use the sharing and the streaming, but these are smart additions for the next generation.
Look how many people are now trying to like put their own stuff on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, YouTube is flooded. Twitch is flooded with people streaming their stuff. And if there's literally a button on the controller that says share, and you hit that at any time, and it's gonna do that very thing. And then other stuff, you can. If you're having trouble in a game or whatever, they said like, oh, you can have a friend take over your controls. Like, what? I mean, first of all,
that's going to backfire so
bad. Yeah, right, yeah.
Or they're like leaving hooks.
I hope so.
They're leaving hooks for developers to basically leave like what they call them, like director tools, where you could get into their game and provide guides for that player.
Which you can control the ducks.
It's just
as the other guy tries to shoot him.
Just crazy. No one's ever done that. I mean,
yeah. Yeah, like it's there. Like, that's the kind of stuff I was excited about. I'm like, hey, here. And that kind of goes back to Ethan's point. It's like, some of this stuff can be used. Like, if all these tools they're laying out are used, like, yeah, you could see some cool experiences here. And, you know, I hate when there's not parity with these features. So if, like, Microsoft doesn't have some of this stuff, you may run into some problems there where just developers are not jumping on board with these things. It's like, well, we're not going to make it work with the Vita because this is cross-platform and we don't have the resources or whatever.
Sure.
Like, well, that sucks, you know. But at least it's optional. It's not a Nintendo thing where you have to use the gamepad.
It's also kind of weird because you want a certain amount of parity so you can really count on those features to be used. But I also want some distinctions to help me make that purchase decision if that's the route I want to go.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm most curious about to see in Microsoft's response, what Microsoft's been doing. And I really, man, I love being the fly on the wall just like to see, because we'll never really know like what was a complete surprise to Microsoft and what wasn't. Like, who knows how it's going to be spun, but I'd really just be like, oh shit, we didn't think of that. Or is that even possible? Like, were they kind of using the same kind of think tanks? And like, in this day and age, can they really like surprise each other? You know, it's just lots of smart new features. And I honestly was worried that, you know, some of the development troubles that we've been hearing about these consoles, that they had rushed to these decisions and they might be behind the times even before they announced them. And, it was kind of like proud of Sony for thinking through a lot of stuff and kind of recognizing some of their problems. And so I feel like they have, like I said, I feel like they have a solid foundation going forward. I'm still holding back on my excitement. I don't know. I wasn't as excited as Josh, but I thought they did a good job.
Oh, also, are any of you guys PlayStation Plus subscribers?
Mm-hmm.
I was at one point.
Okay, so, or at least you're probably aware of all the, like, the free games that, like, Plus subscribers are getting. Like, that's been, like, a great deal, you know, for collecting, building a game collection. But they're talking now, and this is kind of post-conference, but they're talking about different subscription levels. So, and it was basically, I don't know if it was said, if Harai said it, or if he just, like basically kind of alluded to it, but, since all the titles are going to be digital, they could have a subscription level basically where you would get all the games. Like that was like a thing, like that was, and I don't know how they do that and satisfy
PlayStation
publishers
everything.
And stuff. But like, yeah, what? But okay, just let's just a what if scenario with this.
Because now's the time.
Like, what's the price have to be before you guys go, hell yes? I mean, and would this not be? And if it was reasonable,
$9.99 an hour.
Yeah. You know. Because couldn't this be like the thing, the killer thing? Like holy crap.
Well, again,
like, what if it was $60 a month or something like that? Like the price of a game a month, but you got all games or something. Now, but I don't think it's realistically, I don't think that's going to happen. Just
you get them while
just yeah. Stay with me though.
Yeah. Who knows? Like
that would be the only thing that kind of would frighten me about that, but I guess you could also say the same thing for, I guess Steam doesn't have a subscription fee, but that whole, you know, that whole struggle, do we own the games, do we not own the games and whatnot, but I think it'd be $3,000 a month.
Would you be okay with that?
For the wealthy PS3 owner in you, yeah. Can I voice one concern about the streaming?
Please,
considering I like this idea of streaming. I like that people can stream their shit online.
Okay,
but I also like the idea, and this is how I feel about a lot of media. And this is not me saying this pretentiously. This is just me saying this in a realistic sense. I enjoy the barrier of entry there is for streaming. I enjoy that it isn't necessarily super duper easy and we're not super duper flooded with just shit. You know what I mean? And so that's the only thing that kind of makes me nervous about really making streaming too easy, because I think I not that everybody would stream, but I think that, you know, it could get annoying unless they worked certain kinks out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just imagine our Facebook, like if it's on a Facebook page, or let's say imagine all the updates you get, because no longer is it, you set up the stream, you pop on, you just hit a button. That ease of access, which is such a weird point, because it does, it's like, oh, it'd be great if we had it that easy. But there's also something to say about, you know, putting the time and effort into that kind of stuff. Or maybe that doesn't even matter anymore, but I just feel like my Facebook is just going to be like, Dylan was playing, Killzone, and it'd be for 15 minutes and just having all this shit. Like, I just feel like there's going to be, like, the internet might collapse. Just like, you realize that.
Well, it's all good.
Do we have enough storage for this?
The internet is already so noisy, you're not going to notice this. I think it'll be bad those first few months of owning a PlayStation, but filters are coming, the noise will, you know, you'll be able to discern like which ones to actually pay attention to. It'll be a mess there for a little bit, but it all kind of sorts itself out. That's, I mean, I get your concern, like, you know, do you really want everybody to stream their stuff to you? But like,
dude, we don't have to worry about this. We're all Twitch users and they're using Ustream.
It's done. Yeah, it's done. It is Ustream.
True.
Yeah, that is true. Touche.
On the other streaming side, they did kind of hint at the backwards compatibility side of that. And Josh, you and I had a conversation about it before the show. Even that rumor kind of leaked that that instead of doing straight up backwards compatibility for PlayStation 3 games, that they might use the Gaikai service to stream PlayStation 3 games. And they said they want to get like the entire PlayStation library through this at some point.
1, 2, and 3.
Yeah, at some point. And my reaction to that has been, that's nice for the people that want to play it that way, but still give me the option to download stuff. So that's not a selling point for me yet. Mm-hmm. Like, it is nice for like some instant play options, but there are only certain genres that I would play that I'm not going to notice input lag and that kind of, even if I have the best connection, like that stuff just to me isn't ready yet. But again, it's something they can build off of, and I think they have to go this route. So I understand, like, it's almost like you kind of have to include something like this, and I wonder how Microsoft will solve that problem. But to me, my interest still is, if I want to really play the game, you got to give me an option to download it as well. So, and I don't know how that will be solved. We'll probably still just get, you know, how they've been doing PlayStation 2 stuff this gen, and just releasing updated versions of games. And I'm also worried, like, they haven't really sorted out you know, my PlayStation Network purchases from this generation, how that will, the backwards compatibility there doesn't sound like it's going to be.
No, that's not happening.
So, yeah, that was why I bought a PlayStation 3 originally. It was my last console, but I bought it for the Blu-ray and for PlayStation Network exclusives. So that was kind of frustrating. And that won't be solved those first few years, but I'd be surprised if the greatest hits don't somehow come back. And I'm also not going to ditch my PlayStation 3 anytime soon. That's not a selling point to me yet, the way they're solving that backwards compatibility.
I agree. It's basically like, you know, I'm not sold on the streaming thing. I didn't think OnLive worked that well. I don't think Sony's Gaikai stuff is going to... I don't think they're ever going to fix that. That weird input lag plus compression of the video stream. Like, I don't think that's ever going to make for a great gameplay experience for, you know... But, if you know, maybe with some, like... old ass games like PS1 games or something, like, can it look worse? And a lot of the stuff like ran so poorly that you maybe won't notice the input lag. So, because it was all, you know, like, go play Warhawk.
Would I have noticed Derby.
They're pretty poopy.
Could I have been worse at Soul Reaver with input lag? I'm not sure.
But yeah, it would be cool if they did have that as, like, you know, I'm sure it'd be part of their subscription thing, because there's no way to handle the DRM for, like, your old purchases for those games. So just, like, bundle. Oh, hey, you have the Super Platinum Plus package. You get all these games. Congratulations.
Anybody want to talk about, I'm going to go through some of the games here. Drive Club and,
That was a great presentation.
I think that was creepy.
Hot car seats.
That was creepier than the Infamous stuff. Like,
that was, I think so too.
Those are the MotorStorm guys, right? Like, when did they become car fanatics? What the hell?
Oh, I was looking at the dude's pants. I don't usually stare at dude's pants, but I was waiting for, like, a small, like, you know, like a darker shade of Gene to suddenly show up, because he loves the microscopic details of cars. He was talking about, like, the direction paint was going and all that shit. I was like, dude, stop it. Like, it's like, talking about maybe people might share too much with the streaming, and he shared way too much at that point.
So what happened? So he's been working on another, you know, the other exclusive racing series for Sony. And that's got to be, like, an interesting world within Sony when you probably have access to the Gran Turismo guys. And I just feel like his Gran Turismo envy kind of got out of control in his small little world the last few years. And we're kind of seeing the results of it, of that, like, it felt, when I kind of heard, like, so I was watching social media while this was all going on, and I caught the stream after the fact. But when I was reading about this, I was assuming it was the Gran Turismo guys doing the presentation. And I came back and it wasn't. I was like, what is this guy, like, has some envy issues and made me uncomfortable.
But the actual, I mean, we didn't see much of the game. Oh, it looks great. And it's got a first person view. That's
Drive,
like,
Club.
Kind of different. You can get it, walk around the car and stuff. And it looks like it's part of the game to do that.
Would it be better with Kinect?
But no.
Okay.
Nope. And, but the club stuff sounded cool. Like, it's basically like, you know, you join a clan, kind of that kind of thing. But then you race against these other clubs and stuff like that. I was like, that, you know what? Maybe that's kind of stuff is, like, kind of advancing the social scene in the racing games is probably what it needs. Because, like, race, at some point you're like, how good can the cars look? How realistic can your physics be? Like, the racing games look great and they play great already. Like, and they've been like that for a while. So what else are you going to do? Like, well, let's make it more fun to play with other people. I liked that. That was sounded pretty neat. I liked the idea. I mean, it's not like some kind of amazing, you know, advancement or something. I'm just saying that was interesting. No one else thought that sounded kind of cool.
No.
I think I was
way too distracted by the lump in that dude's pants. Way too distracted like at that point. So yeah, and no, I mean group racing. I mean, it's, I think he's group moving racing. In a good direction. I just hopefully he gets past the exterior of these vehicles and then the interior, you know, and soon after, because I mean, man,
I want Microsoft to announce their group racing game. You got Drive Club and group racing.
group racing.
Yeah, group racing.
There was I saw a show one time on I can't remember what show this was, but it was like a documentary thing. It was about a guy who was in love with cars, and he actually made love to the cars, like physically. The act.
Where would he? Can I ask where?
You can ask.
Where?
You know. Where would you put it, Ethan?
Well, there's a couple of places actually. Now that
all
I think about it,
all of those
right in the Drive Club.
Let's just say it didn't always run on gas.
Ooh.
No, that part I made up.
Can we vote on it? Can we vote on most unnecessary game?
Why are you looking at me?
You've started this. You've awoken the Ethan, and I'm not comfortable with it. But actually, this was the natural conclusion to that presentation, I think, so I don't blame you guys too much.
Excuse me now while I have sex with it. Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. So, one of the most ridiculous moments live was just the buildup for Blizzard's appearance at the event.
The announcement
they were there?
holy fucking letdown. Hey, Diablo 3 is coming to the consoles. So... Who? What?
Who is that? That is my vote for most unnecessary. You realize the shitstorm that's going to start as a result of this that has already begun over this because of the idea that there's more than likely going to be offline co-op.
Yeah.
People are going to be so pissed about that. I feel like they should have just not even released the game. Just keep working on the PC version of it. It's unnecessary. It's
like, I kind of cringed. I was like, you really want to open that now? I mean, I think the storm... The storm post Diablo 3 is kind of calmed down now. Like the people that are playing it are gonna keep playing it, but everybody else has kind of moved on, and yeah, just kind of like,
yeah, who cares? Like it's you know, a bunch of people that have not been able to play Diablo are gonna be able to play it, and on a couch co-op Diablo. That sounds fun as hell. Like, why would that's great? That's a good thing.
I don't think so.
Oh no, it's not bad. It's not a bad
thing. I don't think it lends itself to the... No, I don't think it's a good thing. I think it's a bad thing.
Baldur's Gate,
I mean,
Dark Alliance.
Thing, but just the thing that... They could have avoided. They could have done something different. I don't know.
It was a safe announcement. I don't think it was a bad announcement. I think it's not a bad thing to have Diablo 3 on consoles. I don't think it's a bad thing that...
This is probably going to launch on the PS3 and PS4 at the same time this fall. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool for people that like. Yeah. If you haven't been able to play it on the PC, it's a good game.
I was just making fun of it for like the tension of like, oh shit, Blizzard's here. This could be, you know,
right.
Blizzard's working on a lot of stuff right now.
That was you're right.
And
World of Warcraft on the PS4. That's what everybody was expecting.
A Titan announcement or like it.
Ghost is back
for those few moments leading up to that. Yeah, go for those few moments leading up to that it could have been anything, and it was just kind of like, oh, all right. I mean, that really could have been handled in a press release and been fine, but thanks, and you know, that's kind of cool, but it just
hopefully they're doing other things too.
Yeah,
is kind of what I was getting out of that stuff. Like all this is like, hey, here, look, we're making console games.
Again?
I mean, they said that they're like, we're glad to be doing this again. Weird. So maybe they're going to make a game like that's not a game that... I mean, Diablo, those kinds of games are normally just on PCs because like there's a lot of clicking going on. But they figured out, like, figured out how to... The Dark Alliance games, like those did it, you know, Snowblind did it. Mm. And it worked great. It was fun. Those are the same... It's the same games. So I'm just thinking like, okay, so now maybe they'll do whatever other thing they're working on.
Yeah.
Maybe, and Sony said episodic and free to play friendly. Mm-hmm. Like, you're going to have, you know, so yeah, maybe there is an MMO like game that doesn't require, you know, 100 buttons on a keyboard.
And indie or developers can set, if they want to publish on PSN, they can set their own pricing and control all that stuff too. So that wall's down. I mean, I want to see Microsoft try to put a wall up. Like they, I mean, you can't. They will go away. Like, I mean, Nintendo dropped that for the Wii U. Like, yeah, to try to get indies there too. So that is a great sign for the for the next gen.
The Ouya just changed the landscape.
Ooh, yeah. Are you saying come at me, bro, to Microsoft, Justin? That's kind of what it sounded like.
I want them to put
walls up. Like, I want to do it. Put those walls up.
Yeah.
No, you put those walls up, bro. You first.
Yeah.
You
know? I mean, like it.
Serious. I mean, if they do that, there are things that they could do that would doom the console right off the bat if they are that dense or that arrogant to think that their walled off atmosphere, their walled off infrastructure is going to be a benefit next round. And, but I wouldn't put it past them. So that's kind of, I mean, good luck if that's where you're headed is kind of my thing. So, Watch Dogs, they were very excited to, yes, this is a PlayStation, this is a next gen game.
Yep.
Even though it's still coming to the Wii U, that was kind of surprising too.
Wait, it's still coming to the current systems too,
but
it's going to launch on everything.
I feel like there was so much of a relief of like Destiny had that moment. Cerny really had that moment with when he announced Knack that's like, I can finally talk about my game because they have to wait for them to announce these consoles,
which was just not. It was pretty.
They kicked off the show with like that was the first game.
It's like really,
that's cute.
You know what? It looks like one of those. It looks like that's like the kind of game you play on PlayStation. It had that kind of like it had the sensibilities of like a Jack and Daxter.
Actually,
or those
no,
kinds
I was
of games.
My so, Ratchet. So yeah, when's Ratchet and Clank showing up?
Right, right. Demo. I was like, okay, this is that kind of
Which isn't a bad thing, but it was like,
but I'm
don't go stylized to start this off. That was kind of odd.
And it ran like shit on that Vita. They were when they were doing the streaming thing. I mean, I'm it's cool that they actually had the balls to do it. They said, you know, hey, look, and here we're playing the PS4 game streaming to the Vita, and they were doing it on the stage live. And I was like, oh, you know, that's cool, but it's kind of chugging a little bit. Not the highest frame rate there. Not looking so hot, but they did it. So we know it's like a thing that works. There's that.
Yeah. I mean,
cool.
be really curious to see how and if that is laggy. But, what was your reaction to Watch Dogs this time? This is our second look at it.
Looks fun. Looks like a fun game. I'll play it.
I think so.
Yeah, it looks neat. Like, it's got that. I had like a real Assassin's Creed vibe.
Sure.
I'm like, man, this is, you know, but the hack everything thing actually. I don't know. Like they didn't show a ton of it, but I liked what they were doing with it. Of like, I mean, it was just, you know, it was magic. It was like, blow up the bear. Like it was there was an electrical box on the outside of this building, and a guy ran by it, and the character hacked it to blow up to knock him down or whatever. And I was like, oh, he just shot the barrel. You know, like that was what they were doing, but the way they do in the interface looked kind of neat. You always had like a lot of options to interact with the stuff around you, and that's kind of neat. But the most important part of the game, they still didn't explain at all. And that's how the other players interact with you while you're playing.
Yeah, that fucking zoom out on their E3 demo.
Like,
of
what? It was that? Was that another player in the demo that was like, you saw they were controlling cameras? Like, what were they doing? Were they on in their iPad? Because they were talking about like second screen stuff. Like, were they actually on their own system, like their own PS4, and were they like looking through these cameras and looking at a map? And like, were they running around the world? What were they doing? And they didn't say any of that stuff. So, and that to me will be the most important part of that game and what'll make it really fun.
You guys worried at all with some of these games that are doing the cross-generational releases? I mean, they almost have to, but I honestly, when I saw Watch Dogs last year, I was like, with that and Star Wars, I was just kind of hoping, okay, these are just next-gen games. They just can't really say it. But I was kind of disappointed when I was like, yeah, and it'll be on PS3 as well. I was like, I'd rather you just focus and make a, you know, make an awesome launch title. Like,
especially with a game like Watch Dogs, I think. You know, I think that's one of those games. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's what, like, Killzone, like those kind of games, like, I'm relatively indifferent to, but, like, the idea of a Watch Dogs is, like, okay, so let's take advantage of the power of the PS4. Like, let's go all in. This is what's going to separate you. That's what gets me excited. And, again, that, there's that weird little, at the beginning of any console life, there's that weird kind of, there, everyone's trying to figure things out, because obviously, you know, games look way better now than they did when both PS3 and Xbox 360 came out. But to me, it was like, man, Watch Dogs should be gigantic and should be too much for the PS3 to handle. And that's what I want to see, is I want to see the games that couldn't even possibly be on the PS3, like, that are just way too out there, too much shit going on.
So in the middle of all that, well, actually this weekend I was putting together my kind of recap article, and I came across basically a piece that had this, it was basically an infographic for this, but showing the fidelity of character models as you increase polygon count like 10 times. And just like, we've kind of still hit that point. And I keep going back to this. Sorry, Ethan, that like, I still was not expecting to be wowed by the graphics at this point. Just like, it's going to look incrementally better, but it's not going to have the same impact that even two generations ago. Cause I mean, honestly, as jaded as I was when, I remember when they announced the 360, I was like, well, those graphics don't really look all that much better. And like, and this was even before I'd played an HD game. And so I had even lower expectations of, because even, you know, when they, like I said, when they announced Watch Dogs and Star Wars, you kind of know it's a next gen game, but the fact that people are like, well, maybe that is playing on this generation's consoles. Like, I don't think the everyday consumer is going to be able to really tell. It's not going to have the graphical leap that we're looking for. So I keep looking for my high points elsewhere. So,
yeah, I think it's going to come. I mean, I think it's just going to come. And again, just using Watch Dogs as an example, it's going to come from the power of a bunch of crazy shit going on at the same time. You know, like, you're not going to have, like, because open world games have that weird kind of limitation that there's, you know, there's stuff going on behind the scenes, but maybe not as much stuff as there possibly could be to really make you feel like you're in this world. And I think that's like going to be the big difference, which is what I'm waiting for. And that's when I said, you know, graphic wise, like, no, we're not going to be blown out of the water. I wasn't wowed by that. That's why I wanted to know more about Watch Dogs. I wanted to get something more than Killzone, because Killzone looked great. That's awesome. Yeah. But I wanted something that'd be like, okay, man, this is, we're moving along. We're chugging along. This is great. There's more shit going on. This is going to be an open world game, but it's not going to be like the open world games we've been playing, because it's going to be just deep. And I mean, you know, with Watch Dogs, I imagine, like, you know, I mean, like, you know, so not, you know, you look at like Elder Scrolls Skyrim in terms of open world, and you have all that weird kinky kind of patchwork of bugs and whatnot, that mess. What I'm thinking is, okay, now we have a game like Watch Dogs that has that open world, has all that depth, but you don't have to mess with any of the bugs because it can support it at this point. Like, that's what I'm looking for.
I'm looking for
demand.
GTA, and you can stalk someone all the way across the city. It keeps track of where they go. Like, they don't disappear.
Yeah. Your Carl Johnson. Well, it
looks
game.
Like they're doing that, because, like, with you, like, getting the information on the characters and whatnot. I mean, they're going to have that kind of stuff going on, and that's that's the beneath the hood type stuff that, like, I'm looking forward to. You know, I'm looking forward to gigantic monster. I want Watch Dogs to have monsters, you know, and just storm in the city. No, I'm just kidding about that, but you know what I mean. Like, they're just like, just throw shit at me, man. Let's get in there. Let's see some crazy shit.
Aaron?
Motherfuckers.
You're trying to jump in there.
Yeah.
Do we take all your words?
A lot of my words have been taken, but yeah. I mean, you're pretty much right. The jump from, you know, one generation to another, the graphics, I mean, they look better, but, you know, as a person that plays a lot of different things, I see a lot of different images. It looks better, but that's not the reason that I would be remotely excited about the next gen. But it's pretty much, I want what Ethan wants, is like just these open worlds. I want a lot of stuff going on, and I want these systems to support that.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I just don't want, oh, you know, here's a car driving away, and I was just, you know, it's how you do Skype. The car just vanished in the middle of the street, and I don't care. Track of it, but I suppose that just want to go and it just do more than we've ever seen.
Yeah.
Yep. You roboed.
I think I got the gist of it. It just, yeah, I want the technology to support open world immersion that we haven't got before, and for Skype to actually Work. Yeah, we can stream games. We can't stream a...
It just completely... Yeah, Skype just took a dump. That's why we don't use Skype. But then Google did it too.
Yeah. Man, we just took a huge dump.
We've still got him over here. We can hear him, but that one dumped him.
Okay.
Anyways.
Question. This was kind of going through my head as this became more... The PlayStation 4 looked more and more like just a computer. As they kind of stripped away a lot of the Sony-ness to it. Like, did Gabe at all react at all to this? Because I started wondering, like, honestly, like, okay, what is this Steam box, whatever that might be, what is that going to be in comparison to something like this? Because if they're opening it up, like...
Yeah, he did react to this.
What was...
He fired like 100 people from... no, that's unrelated, I think.
That's not how they fire people there, man. It's a commune.
Yeah, that's, you know, right. Everyone got together and said, well, this PlayStation 4, we're going to compete for everyone. Why didn't we think of this thing first?
Yeah, he didn't react to it, did he? Because I feel like I've been on Reddit for the last week, and I feel like people would have been
they would have said something
about that because they love him there. So I don't think so. I mean, hey,
well, what's it mean? I don't know. It's just I don't think any of these things are going to change the way people. It's like you're either going to play stuff on the PC or you're not as of right now, because there's still a bunch of stuff that's just going to be. It's going to be just better on the PC, or it can only be done on the PC, or whatever it is. Or guys are just like, you know what? I'm not going to develop for other consoles because, you know, indie guys or whatever.
I guess maybe...
But at least the console gamers just now have all those other options, and that's great.
I guess I started to think of the potential of a Steam box to be, you know, more of a plug-and-play type of device for console gamers that don't want to make the... There's still a... hurdle for a lot of those gamers as far as, sure, there are a lot of options on PC, but sometimes that makes it more complicated to play. I still, like, really, really believe that some people just don't want to go through those hassles, and I was hoping that Steambox kind of solves that for them, for their, you know, for their living room gaming. And but if Sony is closing the gap on that machine, which I think they're doing with this console, there might be less of a demand for that solution, versus right now I think there is a demand to get something more out of my living room gaming, but Sony may have diminished the need for that a little bit more with this. That was kind of...
Do you mean like in reference to the Steam Box, or just in reference to a more plug and play computer in general?
Yeah, just that. I mean, I'm using the Steam Box as my concept for that. But yeah, that plug
and
play.
To me, the Steam Box, what it has over the PlayStation, the thing that is Steam. I mean, that's like the big thing. Like, I think,
but
no, I mean, it'll run Linux. It won't have the game library. You'll
not
play any of your
not,
games.
Okay, not
well. Th-
not
that hasn't what, been not, confirmed yet, though, has it?
I'm not talking. I'm talking.
They said that.
I'm talking the plug and play PC.
Just the plug and play PC.
Okay. So no matter who makes it,
right.
It could be a Dell or something or whatever.
Yeah, because it's really nebulous what that's going to be. But I'm talking. They've closed the gap on this plug and play PC, which is what I've been after for my living room, and I think would be more friendly to console gamers than just a high end gaming rig that they've custom set up and they're, you know, getting in there and tweaking things.
If the PlayStation is more indie friendly and they've got the you know, the hot free to play games and stuff like that, if they actually get the software for what do you need a PC in the living room?
That was what I was.
But it's really just all about the software. It's like, do you have?
Will it support mods? That,
you know, that's the thing.
That'd be nice. They didn't mention mods, but that probably wouldn't come up in this conversation.
Well, I don't know.
So
who knows? They all have a hard drive. Every PS4's got a hard drive.
Mm. All right. Skype continues to be awesome. We mentioned David Cage a little bit. one of the other takeaways I had was that they kept, but between like the little video with a lot of the Sony developers and then with David Cage, they had basically the Gran Turismo guys and David Cage talking about how technically proficient this system is and the options that it that allows them to have as developers from these. I mean, honestly, you've got the developer that only makes car games, and then David Cage that makes these other kind of game experiences that aren't really pushing it in the traditional ways. And I thought that was kind of odd to have those guys touting the power of this thing when, you know, I really want more of, you know, a developer talking to it with more of a varied skill set that might represent. It was an interesting choice as far as, you know, that's really cool that you made that old man's face look that awesome. But
old man face was the best. People love that guy's face.
Was that an actor, a real actor? Like, did that not look like
his head's literally awesome. Been?
No, like he looked super familiar. No, damn it! Like he looks. You remember? Because remember when they showed like the Beyond Two Souls, and it was like, and we were like, oh, there's the DB Sweeney, and like, and you know, and Ellen Page looked like Ellen Page, and then, but this guy, I'm like, man, this is an actor. I've seen this guy somewhere before. Did you guys get that?
No, I was too creeped out.
I was too familiar.
I don't know.
It just I couldn't place it though. I'm like, what's this guy been in? This is a guy. This is a dude. I've seen him. Yeah. Like, yeah, I just could not. I couldn't place it. Someone out there.
One disembodied head. You've seen them all. So yeah. Sure. He had one of those faces.
Are you playing Jonathan Blow again?
Is it Jonathan Blow?
Was Jonathan Blow's hand inside of that dude's neck, like puppeting him?
Yeah. I think he said, "I want one of those faces."
Square Enix was there to show off
Squeenix
show off a demo that they showed at E3.
It was a really nice Final Fantasy cutscene.
Yeah,
but they had like there was like dragons and cultists and a beautiful city and a bunch of dudes from Uncharted 3 or something like with AK-47s. Like
there's gonna be a Final Fantasy game on PlayStation 4.
Well, there's going to be something. We don't know if it... I mean, maybe that wasn't Final Fantasy.
No.
Right?
But I was worried about that.
It could have been one of their other properties.
That was a deal breaker if that didn't...
Yeah, and who was... What's his name came out, and he's like, and there will be more to show at E3. Thank you.
And then Capcom showed off their new game engine. They're still bringing it.
Dude!
Dragons.
Deep Down, they called it. Deep Down. D. Dragon's Dogma 2, maybe? Holy shit, that looked good. That looked really good.
I was seeing Double Down, the KFC sandwich.
I'm hungry. Don't stop. We were talking about food earlier.
I mean, we go back and forth on Capcom, but like we praise them pretty highly sometimes, but also give them some shit.
That looked really good, man. Like, that looked awesome.
I gotta give them props for continuing to like push it on their engines. Like every time I keep expecting them to just, oh, we'll just license Unreal, you know, like that.
MG Framework looks good, man.
So
they don't need Unreal Engine.
I'm optimistic about there.
We just don't know what that is. That thing they showed. I just hope that was. I mean, like, a thing that you're going to control directly.
The Capcom we've had isn't the Capcom that's there right now. Just, like, the turnover that they've had with employees, like, in their creative teams. So, I'm excited to see what they do, because they're trying some interesting stuff.
Well, they need to.
Yeah.
They needed to.
Mm-hmm.
So. I mean, let's be honest, some of their big franchises. Well, Devil May Cry, I think that was a big comeback, but Resident Evil is just, like... It's going down in flames. Like they're
gonna do open world, what are you talking about? No, I mean I think I'm hoping like with a lot of these that the next gen gives them an excuse to reboot some of that stuff. But you know, the Devil May Cry sales may argue against that, unfortunately. But any other moments that you guys wanna point out before we wrap this up?
Controller.
Oh yeah,
we
talked about the share button. We didn't talk about the light bar.
No. I want to talk about those sticks.
Okay.
Okay, they're in the same place.
Yeah.
But they're not just domes anymore. They added the lip thing that I think is so important that I loved so much on the Xbox, the transforming controller with the transformer D-pad, the silver ones. And
it's
still like it's convex instead of concave, but it's got this like a little lip around the edge of it, so you don't slip off. Like, I love that. Like that, I'm telling you, man, my thumbs on those PlayStation sticks, like on the DualShock sticks, they're just slipping off. My thumb gets sweaty and whoop. And so, you know, and then I end up like accidentally pushing in on the sticks and hitting was it L3 and R3 or whatever?
Yeah.
And I end up hitting I end up hitting those accidentally because I have to push so hard so I don't slip off. Those little grooves are going to solve that problem for me. And it's a tiny thing, but it's such a big deal for me. So happy when I saw that.
Josh approved.
Yeah.
I didn't think about that. Those are some slick sticks.
Yeah, I just hate those. I just hate those little mushrooms.
Yeah.
She's like, ooh, slippery mushrooms. Too bad I don't want to play games with those.
Too bad they didn't move it, though. Move one of the sticks.
They didn't?
No, you got the two.
I thought they were in the same spot.
No.
Oh, I thought you meant they weren't using them, like it was a fake analog stick. I thought you were talking about, sorry.
No, I meant position on the controller.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah, right. I prefer the one up high, but.
Yeah.
I prefer both of them up high, probably, but that's just my thumbs.
You can 3DS for that.
Yeah. Or Wii U gamepad. Or, what was it? Razer has that one, right? That you can swap the four different sections.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think that's theirs.
That sounds like Razer.
Yeah. It's probably some MLG Pro Config Turbo Macro Controller.
Pro tip.
Yeah.
So, anybody, this prediction time as far as, like, anything you want to throw out about what Microsoft does in response, or maybe what Sony was holding back and they'll show us at E3, or hope they show us at E3? Some questions that need answered?
The Xbox 720 is going to have tank treads. Because that's what the PS4 did not have.
Xbox 720 is a truck.
I bet it's the size of a stereo receiver and the weight of one. But they make it out of just solid steel, like an inch thick steel casing.
I want them
to have backpack fans. Straps for easy movement. You can pop it on your back and play on the go.
You have to put it in your fridge.
To Google Glass so you could wear your glasses and play games and just lose yourself to reality.
Comes with an ATV.
Mm-hmm. It comes prepackaged with an ATV. The console itself is going to cost about $15,000, but that's fine. They're going to subsidize the gas for you. Yeah.
Are you reading off of something right now? Are you reading off one of those, like a funny meme picture?
No. That's all coming into my head. I wanted to think about it all day long.
I wanted to call this out a little bit. Did any of you guys care at all about them not showing the console? Like, I didn't even notice.
No.
In the beginning, I would have thought it'd be nice to see what it looks like, but it ultimately doesn't matter.
It will.
They'll show it.
No one will make a purchase decision based on that.
What if they did show it? What if they did show it? What if it's the old man's head?
What if
that is a console? And that is what we're.
What if it's that weird creature that the Media Molecule guy was sculpting when we thought he was going to make a wiener, and then instead he made that thing?
On the other side, what if they did show it and then they still changed it?
It wouldn't change.
It doesn't matter at all. It will not.
I was so annoyed that
affect any purchasing decision.
That became such a big takeaway for so many people.
Yep.
Like,
oh, it was weird. They didn't show. I mean, there were like actual news reporting, like articles like saying like in headlines, like PS4 absent. Like what?
PS4 missing.
It's a plastic case. They told you how much RAM it has, and you're bitching about the plastic case. You might want to go take a nap. Yeah, it's nap time for you.
That was
make sure
that was the most frustrating point of the evening, I think.
My TV stand.
Because I was...
Oh, I don't like that color. I'm not buying it.
Like I said, I wasn't... you know, I wasn't as excited as Josh, but I was like, yeah, Sony did a good job. And then just to read that, like, really? That's your takeaway? Like, I feel like this is a new start for Sony, and they did what they needed to do to kind of set that in play, and... the weird details people get hung up on.
I hope it looks dumb. I hope they make the dumbest looking thing because people will still buy it.
I hope
it
won't matter. Like the Famicom.
Oh man, I hope it's. I wish they would have just called it Orbis and made a big old circle, like a big sphere, like an orb. The orb.
Console keeps rolling away,
and it would have one little flat, like one little flat spot. It would be like the Magic 8-Ball thing.
I don't know why it's popping.
And you pick it up, and there's Kazurai's head.
I was picturing, what if it was like a
robot? You shake it and it shows you like the different executives.
If it doubled as a robot vacuum, robot vacuum cleaner.
So you
don't know where your PlayStation is going to be.
Oh yeah, these are. I almost bought one of those, man. Yeah. That's really cool.
That'd be one way to get closer to your. I mean, a lot of people like become kind of attached to their robot vacuum cleaners. Be a way to come closer to your.
Oh hell yeah,
your PlayStation. So
what if it's clear acrylic?
PlayStation clear
with like cold cathode like lights in it, and it's just like it looks like the gaudiest PC case you've ever seen. That would be hilarious. A fish tank? Also, cool.
Little baby hermit crabs at the bottom of it.
Also cool.
Be a lava lamp.
What if it is just a lava lamp? What if all this technology has been lava lamps this entire time, and we're just now realizing it?
So,
what does that even mean?
I have no idea.
That was a Nate Fox moment.
Did you smoke a doobie before the show? A marijuana cigarette?
Now do you know what he's talking about? He can't remember.
Now I do.
My last question.
Deutsch Dubes.
Is.
Deutsch Dubes.
Before this event, did you think Microsoft was going to wait until E3 to announce their console? And do you think that this changed their plans?
If they were going to wait, they can't now.
Okay.
Nope. They should have come out on stage while Sony was giving their press. Wait a minute. I'm going to let you... No, I'm not going to do it.
Just like Major Nelson in paintball gear, and he's like throwing smoke bombs and hitting people with frozen paintballs. And then he's like, there's Xbox Live Games on Demand sale this week. Halo Reach $5. And he fires a few off in the air, and then he like runs out, and there's just like a couple of little shitty smoke bombs that don't really obscure anything. They're going off in the front row.
Buy a Kinect, get one free.
I've got two Kinects.
He's like a fireworks salesman, it sounds like.
Lay her peace! Boof! And then it like,
everything's gotta go! Sorry, Sony, I know this is inappropriate.
Oh.
That would have been pretty fantastic. Like, that's the kind of, you know, I want some of that WWE stuff.
Those antics.
You know?
Those are the antics we want for our press conference.
You know, like just, it's okay to acknowledge that the other guys are there. You know, just say the name. Don't be so worried about saying Xbox.
Yeah.
If you're at the PlayStation thing, be like, no. They exist and you know about it. Our stuff's better. Xbox sucks. Like, just say that straight up. Just say Xbox sucks.
I mean, if you went and did those E3 press conferences knowing that at any time one of the others could come in here and interrupt.
Yep.
Like, oh shit, that's Sony's music.
Yeah.
It's Kazarai's music.
Yeah. Oh man. And then they can have like team up sales and stuff, and like everyone's friends. Like that, people want that kind of drama. Because it's really it would represent the people on the internet. Like, because that's what they do. That's them.
Oh. Who's the Microsoft spokesman now? What's that weird floppy haired dude name?
The Crash Bandicoot?
No, it's no longer Peter Moore. I was going to say Reggie and Kaz come out with Duke controllers to beat down Roger Moore, but I can't remember.
Roger Moore.
Sorry. Peter Moore. That'd be even weirder.
Let's just make it Major Nelson, because he already has a name that's like a stage name.
So yeah, no.
He sounds like a crappy wrestler.
Reggie and Kaz, yeah, show up. Never mind. It was funnier in my head when...
Yep. Yeah. So, remember that crappy Fire Pro wrestling game that came out?
So Take-Two and WWE have a thing now. 2K14. I think that's going to do it. That's the PlayStation
for Sony.
For Sony. Now
they're done.
Wait and see. Microsoft's in response. Rumor is possibly April. I bet that sounds kind of...
A lot of people in the know have been saying that to me.
We know all those people.
Well, I watch their videos.
Okay.
My uncle at Microsoft.
Yeah. Just to get out of here with HorribleNight.com updates. Again, we're... lots of focus on our video content. Hit us up on, subscribe on YouTube, or if you're watching us here on Twitch, we live podcast every Tuesday night, and we've almost got daily streams going on. We're trying to get a little bit better about promoting what games we're playing, when we're playing them. But once we get our schedule kind of nailed down, that'll also be on our Twitch channel. But, if you subscribe, you do get notified when we go live, and, most nights have less technical issues than this evening. and then we put our highlights up on our YouTube channel. And so be sure to check us out. Give us some feedback. We'd like to know which types of videos you're enjoying and which ones you could deal with less of. And then the next...
More Mr. Dave.
Yeah, that's well documented. More Mr. Dave all the time.
Especially with all the family intrigue. After that last episode,
it's like a soap opera now.
He killed his uncle.
And then,
spoiler:
if you're in the Midwest, coming up on March 9th, that entire weekend is the Louisville Arcade Expo, and a few of us from Horrible Night will be attending the event and playing some old arcade games, pinball games, and old school console games. It's a pretty good time.
World's largest arcade expo.
Is that true, or are you just yeah? Don't quote him, but he did say that phrase. I don't know if he was referencing the Louisville Arcade.
Okay, well, it's not the largest, but
there is one that is the largest.
Yeah, there is a world's largest arcade expo, and also there is the Louisville Arcade Expo coming up, and it's awesome, and you should go.
And with that final Skype disconnection, I think that's going to be the end of the show. So, Ethan, Aaron, Josh, thanks for hanging out tonight. Chat, thanks for hanging out. We're going to come back for a quick aftermath episode and then do some live gaming a little bit later. We will see you.